Yep. Alrighty, on a Friday, everybody's writing to us, and here they come. The wooden wagon's making its way in. Open the door, wooden wagon. Wooden wagon comes in now. The teeny tiny lady sitting atop the wooden wagon. And wow, look at this. This is like the fourth time the teeny tiny lady has had the great honor, Tom, of possibly coming down with COVID-19. And she is being held in the lap of Donald Trump. Let's listen in now.
See, this is what I mean with the Republicans. They don't play the tough game.
Oh, really?
That's a disgrace.
I mean, you should imagine what would happen if you have a temper tantrum.
Oh, are you kidding me?
Carving in the news! I tell you, she gets a chance to meet the who's who, doesn't she, Tom?
And the vocabulary, temper tantrum, who knew?
I know. Well, she, you know, she has to try to fit the conversation with who she's talking to. So that's the president making its way in, drops off the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. She sits atop of the bar stool, and she will choose the letter of the day. She helps Jacob out by tapping on the glass. Jacob in the other room, he's doing double duty here. He's actually on the phone trying to find somebody to play the know-it-all quiz. Going okay in there, Sean, isn't it?
Yeah, it's going great.
No,
Jacob.
Does he have somebody? Oh, he's already got somebody.
Oh, yeah, he's got it.
Oh, okay. Because sometimes we got to stir the bottom
of the
barrel.
To anyone else?
We got to stir the bottom of the barrel to get somebody on. All right, Tom, you were a big fan of Jesse Jones in Cairo 7, and you liked the story. So we thought let's follow up on this one. So this is the story that that Jesse was talking to a woman who wanted to be able to get into the phone.
A man into the phone.
Apple would not open the phone because it was
his wife's.
The wife's phone and did not know the password. Thank you, Tom. Here is Jesse Jones with the story that you liked.
She was an amazing artist, had an incredible eye. She was without a doubt the most loving person I've ever known.
Byron Tate's grieving the murder of his wife, Lori, all while battling Apple, who won't provide him the password to her iCloud account.
I feel like I've lost a good portion of her and our family's earlier history.
In March, Lori was with her 13-year-old son when police say two suspects attempted to snatch her purse, then hit her with the truck as they tried to drive away at this Fred Meyer in Ballard. She died 2 days later.
My affectionate term for her was my sweet angel. She was everything to me. Plus, she was a really brilliant photographer, and she had a lot of just beautiful photographs that would remind me of things that made her happy.
Lori kept most of the pictures in her iCloud account. After her passing, Byron wanted to see and share them, but he didn't have her password. He asked Apple for it, and the company refused to provide it.
The impression I get is it's almost like they're treating my property as if it's theirs, and I'm just really fortunate that I have the opportunity to perhaps look at it someday.
This is not an unusual occurrence where somebody wants to be able to get access to the phone, doesn't know the passcode, and Apple will not open that phone. So,
yeah.
Jesse comes in to help.
Apple's request for information continued, so Byron got his lawyers involved, and it's been a six-month fight.
It seems like this is clearly not a priority for him. It's not something that they have perhaps given a lot of thought to.
We contacted Apple, and it pointed us to its website that says, once the court order is received, we will help as much as possible to grant access to the personal information or devices you are requesting. Byron provided that in August. Still, no access.
But here's the issue. The law states that the executor needs prior permission from the deceased, like a provision in the will, to get that information, or the executor has to prove that information is needed to administer the estate.
To have to deal with this on top of everything else has just been frustrating.
Byron's still fighting for Lori's information, but he wants us to tell his story because he wants others ready for the fight to access the digital memories of their loved ones.
The stories that I had seen and I had read on it, that they will release it if you come to them with some sort of investigation. Like there's, I guess, a documentation of a court request that they could possibly do that, right?
Well, yeah. So there are some... the best advice that Jesse gives is that if we just put this in the will, mm-hmm. like, okay, if I die, I want my wife or my daughter or whomever to have access to all these things. That's one way to handle it. Another way is to just give your password to your family members that you want to have access to if you're not available, if you're dead or in a coma or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is, if I was like the executor of your estate and I needed to divvy up the money that you had left in the estate, and it was only available in kind of like locked account, then the court would intervene and say, okay, well, in order for Tom to divvy up the estate, he needs to have access to know how much money is in the estate to pay for the funeral and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that's one thing, but that's pretty restrictive. There's probably no reason to get access to these. It's just for sentimental value. But for sentimental value, this guy has to deal with the death of his wife suddenly in front of his son.
Yeah.
And now he doesn't have access to her photos. This is one of those really human infuriating kinds of situations. But you understand, I think, why Apple is conservative about this. So, I mean, maybe there is stuff, and I'm just coming up with a hypothetical, so it has nothing to do with this guy's individual circumstances. But imagine that there would be a different couple, a man and a woman, and maybe the man has pictures on there that he doesn't want his wife to see and or vice versa for all sorts of, you know, embarrassing reasons. Then maybe that shouldn't be just, oh, well, if you're married, then you have access to anything and everything.
Right.
But it's still, in this kind of situation, it's heartbreaking.
Remember I told you the story about my friend's kid who was applying for college and said, Dad, I have no stories to tell. I have nothing to write about. I basically have had this really great life.
Yeah.
And then her boyfriend dies in a motorcycle accident and the phone is locked and she knows the password and the parents ask her for the password. But she knows the type of stuff that's on the phone and she does not want that to soil the memory that the parents have of the kid. So she refuses to give the code.
See, and there you go. There is somebody who's trying to protect the legacy. You know, this one, we're trying to get access to a legacy. This one is to protect the impression. And, boy, I don't know. I mean, that's a good question. If something awful happened to your kid, would you want to know something that the kid had been hiding from you? Because, after all, it's your kid and you want to know. Or might you be better off living or understanding a misimpression of your kid? That's a tricky ethical issue.
I think they ended up settling it by that she said, okay, I will give you the code, but I would like the phone and I will, you know, take some stuff out of the phone. And I think that's how it ended up settling. I'll have to call my
friend
and
right?
ask
okay.
him. Yeah, but that to me, that seems like a compromise.
Yeah.
There's stuff in there. I mean, that's, you know, it's like the joke that guys always have. I mean, not anymore, but it used to be, you have your porn stash buddy, that if you ever die,
that's the
friend of yours that goes over to the house and gets all the gross stuff.
And now those are cloud accounts, probably.
Right. Yelp says it's going to make sure that they mark pages of businesses accused of racist conduct. So the idea that you could now go into a restaurant and feel as if the person was not so nice to you and perhaps they're racist or you assume it's racist, so then you can Yelp them. And then I guess, does Yelp ask for some sort of evidence, or is it just enough to be able to say, treated poorly?
So immediately Yelp says that they would do their own investigation.
Uh-huh.
And what they call it, now I don't know what the quote is of this, but it's resounding evidence.
Ah.
If there's resounding evidence that this thing actually happened, then they would put this up. And yes, immediately I thought of you right off the bat because I think you're suspicious of any claims of anybody being racist. But in this particular case, that is really tricky because, as we know, false Yelp reviews can kill a business.
Oh, yeah.
Especially a restaurant.
Yep.
So Yelp says, what I was surprised about this in this article, they're making this effort. Why? Because they say that their listeners or readers are demanding it, that they want to know the sort of the social, I don't know if it's a social justice status of a lot of restaurants. Now, it started off, this I have no problem with, which is identifying black-owned businesses. A lot of, during the summer of the Black Lives Matter protests, there were a lot of people that wanted to single out black businesses to help them.
Uh-huh.
And so they went to that. That was like the first measure. Now, the second measure is they also want to try to exclude or avoid going to places that are not are not sympathetic or are racist.
Yeah.
And so they're making this effort. And they talk to restaurants. And some restaurants are say, hey, I'm all on board with this. But other restaurants, at least half of them say, holy smokes, this is really dangerous territory.
I don't think
Yelp
they say
is already
holy smokes,
on shaky
Tom. Anybody says holy smokes anymore. But Yelp writes, communities have always turned to Yelp in reaction to current events. And our users' operation system already places alerts on businesses and pages when we notice an unusual uptick in reviews that are based on what someone may have seen in the news rather than firsthand experience. Okay. Now, when a business gains attention for reports of racist conduct, Yelp will place a new business accused of racist behavior alert on the Yelp page to inform users along with the link to the news articles so they can learn more.
So that's something. The link, I think, is important.
Okay. Listen, you somebody goes in there and has a bad reaction, or what you have is it creates confirmation bias. You've seen it, then you go in, and you're like, oh, yeah, that waitress is a racist. That waitress treated this person poorly. And then it just kills the business, and then the people that work at that business go out of business, and the guy that owns the business, the woman owns the business, goes out as well. And who is well-served?
Well, the people that want to go to, just like people want to only put stocks, money into stocks that are somehow green or something.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's people that want to sort of support businesses that they feel like are doing a good job for society.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, it can get tricky. Now I think this'll ride until there have been enough abuses of this and people yelping against a restaurant and the restaurant yelping back. And then we, you know, may see a balance. I think this is I think it's an idealistic approach, but I think the harm done could be worse than the crime.
Oh yeah, listen, if you want to kill a business immediately, just put that on there, and then they're going to investigate it. Whatever that.
Well,
means.
No, yeah, but they,
Yelp is a form of extortion. Yelp is better. Yelp is better than the mob. Better than any sort of corrupt system in Russia or Mexico where you have to pay money every single month in order to have a fire not accidentally start at your restaurant. Yelp gets in there, and I mean, if you don't pay it, then the stuff goes to the top. I mean, they just screw businesses royally and try to get a Yelp review removed. Hmm?
I don't understand how that works. You do not, when you're Yelp reviewed, you don't pay Yelp to be reviewed, do you?
No, you don't pay Yelp to be reviewed. But let's say somebody who's your competition reviews you and wants to destroy you.
Yeah.
So they do a couple of stinkers and they throw another stinker in there, right?
Yes.
And now where is it? Well, it's now on the file. Does it move to the top? Is it the thing that's on there? And then you want to complain to Yelp saying, this guy, this is my competition. This is the guy down the street. He's killing me. And Yelp's like, okay, fine. And do you want to remove it or you want us to change it or something? I mean, you pay extra stuff for insurance. I mean, people that get into it, it's a deal with the devil.
Well, I still don't understand how Yelp benefits from that.
How do Yelp benefits?
If I have a restaurant and I've got two negative reviews and they said, that never even happened. They say, I made lousy salmon. I don't even serve salmon. Yelp supposedly checks it out. If Yelp says that that's not the case, they would remove them or not allow those people to be posted. I don't think that Yelp then goes to that business and says, hey, these guys say your salmon sucks. Pay us and we'll take it off. Right?
You have to work with Yelp.
Well, I mean, I think you work with Yelp by having Yelp check that out, whether that's true or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well,
I guess I don't see that as extortion because there's no money involved.
You do pay for certain things in order to make sure that Yelp is helping you.
Huh. Okay. I don't know about those machinations.
A friend of mine that owns a hotel in Leavenworth, I won't say which one it is.
Yeah.
He was telling me about how it became this awful circle with Yelp, and he couldn't get out from underneath it, and the review was placed by his competition, and it just killed his business.
Well, that's terrible. That's not fair.
Yeah, it is not fair, Tom. But is there anything really in life that's fair?
The Tom and Curly Show. We're fair and balanced.
Yes. By the way, Jacob, do we actually have somebody who's willing to come on?
We do. Yeah, we got several callers.
Good. Somebody else that's fair. Thinks she did a fair job anyway. It was the moderator, Susan Page. You might have heard her asking questions of two people on stage that obviously didn't hear her.
It is hard. You know, I spent a lot of time trying to write narrow questions that would elicit, I hoped, specific responses. But sometimes the responses were not even on the topic at hand. But yes, neither vice presidential candidate responded directly to my question, which was, have you talked to Joe Biden and Donald Trump about presidential succession and any safeguards that the country should expect? The debates are the one time they stand next to each other and voters get to take a look at them and hear how they answer questions or how they don't answer questions. So the failure of the candidates to answer some of the questions I posed, that is also informative, I think, for voters.
Yeah, but only to a point.
Right. Yes. There's a reason why they didn't answer them, because they realized that to the point of not answering it tells you something, but it's not nearly as much as if they answered the question, and they'd rather have that.
She said that she studied Chris Wallace to see where it went wrong for him, and then she was asked whether or not muting mics might work.
You know, I'm all for thinking of ways to make this work better. I would be sad if we were at a state where we had two people running to be president of the United States and we had to mute their mics. I mean, I think that would be a sad day. I understand we're looking for solutions. Vice President Pence only occasionally talked over Kamala Harris. What he mostly did was talk on past his own time limits and ignore my best efforts to get him to stop talking. The one time that they were really talking over each other, I scolded them in a way my mother would have been appalled to see. Vice President of the United States, I held up my hands, I don't know if you saw that, as though I was a cop at an intersection to get them to stop. So the talking over was not as big a factor in this debate as it was in the first one.
How about this time for a debate? There's no moderator.
No,
you go out, you flip a coin,
yeah,
right? And then this person goes first, and they're allowed to ask questions of each other. There's no moderator. You don't need anybody forming the questions a particular way. There's no talk about bias. Just let them go at it.
Then I'd have two qualifiers. One is they'd have to be in a cage, and secondly, they'd have to have electrified dog collars, so if they went over, they'd be electrocuted.
Went over what? The cage?
The time.
What time? There's no time.
There's no time?
No, you let him go.
Okay, then just get him in the cage. The problem is that benefits somebody who's a better wrestler.
Wait, Tom.
Wait, what?
What? Tom, what is in that lozenge that you're sucking on?
John.
Tom.
In that case, Donald Trump would win every debate. Donald Trump has never won a debate, but if you made it by your rules, he'd be the only winner.
Just let him talk.
Bite and kick and punch in the groin. He would. No rules benefit people that don't play by the rules.
We're just talking about talking. You think it's going to go to fisticuffs? Okay.
Tracy, metaphorically.
Tracy Taylor,
yeah.
Metaphorically, what's traffic doing? Lake Washington Windows and Doors. Washing windows and doors reminding you, do not be like Tom and live in a hole in the ground with a big piece of pig iron on top. That's no way to live. Get yourself some windows and doors, and if they're all not sitting right, if it's double pane and you see moisture between those glass, you know what that is? That's a broken seal. That's nothing but problems, and you got to get rid of that. Lake Washington Windows and Doors will come in there for you. Tom, we get a chance to play Know-It-All Quiz. The winner is going to win a gigantic Seahawks 12th-man flag. Stay tuned to Cairo Radio Sunday night for the football game. The Hawks facing the Minnesota Vikings. Pre-game, that's what you want to tune in for. That's the coverage that starts at 2:30. No one does a better job than Cairo Radio with that. And then kickoff is at 5:20. Let's meet our contestant now. His name is Grant. He lives in Silverdale. And he's 28 years old. He's an equipment superintendent at a golf course. But get this, Tom. He doesn't play golf. Say hello to Grant, living a lie.
Hello, Grant.
Hey, how's it going?
Grant, we asked for one interesting thing about you, and Jacob said you couldn't think of anything, so we're going to give you credit for doing this. Hold on.
Sunday. This is Tiger Woods' tee shot at 18 and a hooligan.
No. What are you doing?
Bob. That was you, Grant, yelling in the backswing of Tiger Woods there at the Open Championship. So that's going to be your claim to fame right there. Anything else going on exciting in your life that's for real?
I got a 11-month-old.
Oh,
say no more. Say no more.
Wow. 11-month-old. They're getting good. 11-month-old. You know, they support their head as much and they kind of get a little bit more of a personality. Boy or girl?
Little boy.
Little boy. What'd you name him?
Colin.
Colin. What was the other name?
John.
No, that's good. That's good. What's his best quality so far?
He can walk around a little bit.
Walking around a little bit, that comes in handy.
At 11 months, good.
All right, so Tom, you want to ask Grant the question as to how many questions he needs to get right?
Okay, well, you already jumped the gun, John, and told him, but I don't mind asking. Grant, I don't know how often you listen to the show, but I tend to lean left. John tends to lean right. Do
ten,
you
ten.
Lean either way? Are you more like John's way of thinking or mine?
I'm definitely leaning to the right.
Okay, good. Then, Grant,
that's awesome.
We're going to make it easy. You know, as long as you stay conscious through the entire, you don't need to get any right. In honor of John, this is, I guarantee you, Grant, this is probably the best quiz John's ever written.
Wow, Tom, thank you. These are awesome questions that tailors often ask men as well. You ready, Tom?
I'm ready.
Grant, here we go. Tone and tenor of everything we just established, which you call a friendship, changes with the minor key. Here we go. These are all going to be sound cues for you. This piece of audio has been around since 2015, heard by 50 million people, and it makes people feel good. Tom.
A.
Get! There he is. Ah!
B.
Mom, are you ready to be his friend?
And C.
Oh, goodness gracious.
It makes people feel good.
I would have to say B.
You are correct. It is the toddler. Here we go. At this point,
bingo.
How many does Grant have right, Tom?
Grant is one for one, a perfect 100%.
He can practically smell the 12th man flower. Here we go. The Seattle City Council heard from 150 angry residents. What did that sound like? Tom.
A.
Mom, are you ready to be his friend?
B.
I'm really calling because the homeless encampments next to my house are taking over the park.
Or C.
Get! There he is. Ah!
Great.
I want to say A, but it's most likely B.
You're right. You are on a roll, my friend. Number three, a raccoon sensitive to fake news attacked a reporter at the White House. What sound did the CNN reporter make, Tom?
A. B.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Or C.
Get! There he is. Ah!
Grant?
Well, I hate to say it, but A and C sound so alike to me right now.
Yes, they are. They're very similar. Take your time.
I'm going to have to go with C.
He goes with C, and he is correct. Here we go for the fourth and final one. The 12th man flag will be sent to your house just momentarily. Number four, a corrections officer got in trouble for playing this song over and over again for prisoners. Tom.
A. B.
I'm really calling because the homeless encampments next to my house are taking over the park.
That would
do. Or C.
Mom, are you ready to be his friend?
And the answer, I think you know at this point, is C. Congratulations to you, Grant. I flipped all the cards and gave it to you. That's your big win. This is going to be the 12th man flag. Delivered to your house, you have to have at least three people home that all have strong backs. That's how big that flag is.
Rossi. Well,
okay.
Whoa, stop everything. Hold on.
Producer talk.
We did get some feedback.
Hold on.
From the previous winner of the flag indicating that it is 3 foot. By 5 foot.
I can't hear you.
Oh, wow.
It is, say that again.
That's plenty big. 3 foot by 5 foot?
Wow.
That's...
Yeah? Okay.
Sounds big.
Yeah. Hey, Grant, I got a quick question. Why don't you play golf?
I'm more of an outdoors kind of guy. Like archery and hiking. That's my kind of thing I like.
You don't combine those two, do you?
I have.
Wow. And I haven't heard much of indoor golf.
Wait, Tom, hold on. He goes out hiking with a bow and arrow. Doesn't that seem dangerous to just anybody that might be on the trail?
Yeah. That's right. You never know. Well, you know, target practice.
No, it's in the back country, during hunting season.
Got it. Okay. All right.
Will you hunt with a bow and arrow?
Yep.
Yeah, come on, Tom. Get with it. What's wrong with you?
Huh? No wonder he isn't lean left. It's a man's man.
Is it more humane to take an animal with a bow and arrow?
I believe so, because it gives them a little bit more of a chance.
Yeah.
I guess so.
Wow. Holy moly. Impressive.
And how far away can you hit one of those things?
The range... I don't like to go any more than 30 yards.
30 yards? That really does give them a chance, because then they can see you, hear you, smell you, everything. And you've got that 12-man flag wrapped around you. Wow, that's going to be something. Hey, there's the baby in the background.
Hey.
He's calling. All right.
Okay,
let's go to traffic. We are. It is a Friday. Crazy. All righty, here we go. How you doing, Tom?
Good.
All right.
How are you?
Good. I feel pretty good about my $500 that I'm going to give to charity. Like I chose the Minnesota Vikings. I was like, oh, please. All right, here comes the mailman coming by with the mailman and the mail letters and everything.
On any given Sunday, John.
I know, Tom. I know.
I'm the mailman. As you can see, I'm the mailman. Don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman. If you didn't know, I'm the mailman. I bring the mail to your door.
Right to your door, teeny tiny lady. She's sitting right over there. She gives us a big thumbs up. That means we know we've got ourselves a good letter of the day. We thank her for her hard work.
Hello!
All right, let's get to all the rest first. Here we go, Tom.
So we'll start off with Seattle Gun Violence 360 writes in. Mm-hmm. All these homeschooled children with guns in the home and no school shootings, it's obviously not the gun's fault, right? 206,
right, there you go. Good read on that one. 206, what about the non-gun violence statistics?
Mm-hmm. And 206, yeah, John Curley, yeah. I'm very sure there are tons of cops who shirk their duty because they don't want that black dot.
Mm-hmm. 206, John, like many, pine for the days when you were half as angry as you've been lately. Having said that, you are still one of the funniest people out there in any medium. Oh, thank you. All right, good.
Yeah. That's a backhanded compliment,
yeah,
but I take the compliment.
I'll take it. Yeah, I'll take it.
On the behind enemy lines, Michael in the 206. Mm-hmm. I love the behind enemy lines. It's actually really fun and the highlight of my Friday.
Wow, good, Michael. Nice to see you saying that. 206, that guy was awesome. Delusional, but awesome.
Right. And Sharon in Snohomish, in quotes, I love the behind enemy lines bit you do. Mm-hmm. If only I cared about football. Any chance you could do this for the Sounders? Maybe bring Rance in? I know, asking for the sun and moon again.
Jeez, it's enough that we changed your name.
Yeah.
206, Curly, you're wrong. I'm listening to your show.
I think that was supposed to be like a Vikings fan.
Oh.
Because you said that they...
Wrong. Yeah. I'm listening to your show. Oh. That we were afraid that he wouldn't... Yeah, you don't have to...
Yeah, we guarantee. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. No one will rat you out. And on John's interactions in general with listeners, 253 says... It's okay, John. I listen to you and not Tom.
Well, thank you, 253. Trump and Rush Limbaugh, 206. Tom says he thinks it's a mistake that the president is not wanting to do the second debate because he needs to jolt his campaign. Well, he just jolted his campaign today by going on the Rush Limbaugh show.
So why not two jolts? On Mommy's Little Helper, area code 425. Yay. Ha ha ha, Tom. 1974 on the back of my brother's Honda, ripping around Vashon. He had a radio strapped to the bars playing Steely Dan. I was certain I was going to hell.
Okay. Stephanie Renton says, at the tender age of 11, I fully understood super tramps take the long way home and police's
synchronicity too.
I've made it to 52 years young without having children or marrying. I truly believe I am happier woman because of those choices.
All right. In the random letters category, 253 writes, and happy Friday, you princes of Seattle, you kings of Cairo. Oh. As a young boy, I dreamed of living in a pickle jar. My father said to grow up that I would never make it, but I didn't care. I was determined, and after years of hard work and sacrifice, the dream of the pickle jar is so close. I just got my pre-approval letter from Keel Mortgage. Dad, I did it.
Sounds like crazy stuff to me.
Yeah, Janet Tacoma says, I want John to know that I laughed my butt off when he used his little fly voice yesterday. Like the sign on the side of the road, watch for falling rocks. I don't, what the hell?
And 206. Yes. Hey, guys.
Yes.
I don't know about y'all, but I'm really looking forward to this storm coming this weekend. Mm. Fire in the fireplace, pouring down rain, and hot drinks. I am ready. It's like the calm before the storm out here.
Wow.
The things kids do.
Random letters continuing. Elliot on Tinder says, I love on the top
on Twitter. We don't get any messages from Tinder. That would be good, though. We should start a show Tinder account, see what happens.
People swipe it all over us. I love on the Tom and Curly show when you play a clip and then Curly immediately explains what the clip said to Tom. It reminds me of the scene in Animal House where the guy follows Eric around repeating everything he just said. Do I do that to you, Tom? I'm sorry.
I wasn't aware.
I wasn't either. Here's a clip for you.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Woman lives in a jar with the letter of the day.
Comes from an old regular, Andy, on the road less traveled. Hi-ho, fellas, and happy friggin' Friday to you.
Happy.
Fellas, that Limburger Tweedo segment had so much presidential slime oozing out of my radio that I sprang to attention, slapped the MAGA hat on the cat, new Dr. Seuss book, and spent the entire segment humming Hail to the Chief while saluting. And fellas, you can bet your last Trump defeats COVID commemorative coin that I will be tuning into Fox tonight to watch Twitter's prostate exam. Twitlers, wow, what a great outcome. That's all, fellas. Have a great weekend and go Pats.
You know that. You know that very well.
Okay, good. You all right,
Tom? We made it through.
You're going to be all right with that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to be good.
Felix is waiting to come in and take your place. Felix?
Oh, wow.
That's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote.
Didn't write no more.
Didn't write no more.
I'm going to do she one more hour. You think you got a voice left, Tom?
Yeah, I can do it. Right. If the president can do it, I can do it.